Thank you. Thank you for inviting me here. You can leave if you want. But I'm really pleased to be here. Thank you for your kind invite. Wise men speak because they have something to say. Foolish men speak because they have something to say. Well, they have to say something. Yes, I think I got that slightly wrong, but there you go. I hope I'm one or the other, but let's see how that goes. I have to say, I've had some difficulty with this sermon. It's just something that I heard from the Lord something. You may say, well, that's a bit weird. How do you hear from God? But I think God does speak to us. I believe that. And I started preparing this sermon, and it wasn't going anywhere, and I managed to sort of finish it, but it didn't sound right. So I started again. And I had to listen a bit more carefully. And I really do believe that it's a word for each one of us this morning. I want you to be blessed and encouraged. So, and I think it is a word for today, if that's okay. What do we do when we hear Jesus' words? You know, do we listen? Now, the story we've just read this morning, both from Luke and Matthew, it's the same story, but they are the words of Jesus in the Bible. In my Bible, they're all red letters. That means that they're really the words of Jesus. But if you thought about when we were listening to those readings, the words aren't quite the same, are they? They're very close, but so how does that work? Did you notice the subtle differences? But the story, of course, is the same. Now, of course, in those days, they didn't have a recording way of recording accurately the words of Jesus, but it's remarkable in a way that they are so much alike, because I think when we hear a story, we sort of remember it, don't we? Then we write it down, but somebody else might have heard something slightly different, because our minds work that way, don't they? And then they write that down. So that's probably why the differences occur, but the story is the same. And of course, the story is important. You know, they were, in fact, the concluding words of Jesus' most beautiful and famous sermon on the Mount. Now, I don't think there's many mountains or anything else around Jerusalem, but it was a hill, really, so it's more like the Sermon on the Hill. But I'm pretty sure that Jesus was on a horse, you know, mount. Horse. No, don't worry about it, it went flat, but no, there you go. So these final words were doubly important, and this is why we read both Luke and Matthew's account for the conclusion of this sermon. Now, the story is very well known, isn't it? If you've been a Christian for a long time, I'm sure when you're in Sunday school, it was one of the go-to stories. It's because it's so rich in imagery and also delivers quite an exciting end with the big old crash when the house fell down that was built on the sand. And there's that wonderful song, isn't it? The wise man built his house upon the rock. I won't sing it because you don't want to hear my voice, really. Now, Jesus said a lot of words, didn't he? Most of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're all his words. Teachers speak a lot of words, don't they? In front of the class, especially. But Jesus also used mental pictures, these parables, what we call parables, to teach us important lessons. Some people learn by just listening, but others need to see it in their mind or pictures on a board. So it's important that Jesus spoke in different ways or gave his thoughts in different ways. And when we learned this story, years ago maybe, what is the main message of the story? Can anybody tell me? What's the main message of the story? I don't want you to give me a sermon, just what's the main message? Building on a firm foundation. Yes, that is very true. It is part of the story. The main message of the story is
Jesus says, do it.
That's right. Hearing the words of God and doing them. It says, you call me Lord, but you do not do what I say. Or, in the other version, put them into practice. So I think that's the main point of the story. You know, I suppose when we're in the Sunday school, it's not very sexy or interesting to talk about obeying Jesus' words, it's easier to fix your mind maybe on the picture. And I think that's true. Building a foundation is important. And of course, we're going to talk about that this morning. But it's also about listening to what God is saying and doing it. And of course, it goes on to say, if you do what I say, Jesus says you will be like a wise man or woman or boy or girl who builds his house on a rock, a stable house that will not fall. And on the other flip side of that is, if you don't do what I say, the converse is true. If you don't do it, then you're likely to fall. Of course, your house will be built on sand. And that's a very silly thing to do. Now, let's explain more about the story. The house. What is the house? Well, it obviously symbolizes people, doesn't it? It's people like you and me. It's who and what we are, our thoughts, our uncertainties, our faith and the lack of it. It's our culture, the way that we think, the essence of who we are. It's what we do and what we say. And what is the rock? Well, it's the Word of God. It's primarily Jesus himself. He is the bedrock, the Petra. John said that he is the Word that became flesh, just who Jesus was. So that is the rock. And what is the sand? Well, we all know what a beach is like. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's lovely to see, but the sand is very unstable, isn't it? You can put your foot on it and make footprints, so you can dig it up very easily. It washes away, you can build sandcastles, and the water comes in and it just flows away. It's lovely stuff. In fact, it's very, very small rocks if you think about it. But, of course, it's very unstable. And what are the rain, the streams, the wind, and the torrents of water? Well, this is like each one of our lives, really, isn't it, if we think about it? All those trials and things that would go wrong. And Jesus promises that we're all going to have it. We all know about them, don't we? You and I might even be going through some of this at the moment. These earthly elements really are quite untamable, and they're chaotic. And they beat you up, don't they? They knock you down, and it feels like it wants to destroy you. So what Jesus is saying here in this picture? Can we afford to ignore his words or not put them in practice? If we do what he says we should do, we are able to withstand the hard stuff that comes up against in our lives. Now, hear me now. It doesn't mean that our lives will somehow be shielded from trouble. Most importantly, in the story, the same trouble happened to both houses, didn't it? And conversely, we will be totally unstable at best and ruined at worst if we ignore Jesus. So it's a very important message, isn't it? It also has quite a big gospel element in the story as well. You know, Jesus is saying, trust in me, believe in me, and you will be secure. Don't be your own God. Don't ignore me, but follow me, and you will be saved and not ruined. I will be your Lord, and if you obey my words, your life will be secure as a rock. Now, this sort of statement in this culture that we now live in is an anathema. That's good. I've said that right. It's countercultural, isn't it? You know, one of my favourite karaoke songs is I Did It My Way. No, thinking about it, it's New York, New York. But even this song, no, not the New York, New York one, but I Did It My Way is sung at funerals these days. But let's get him back to the point. What is your life built on? Is it the words of Jesus, or is it other people's words and ideas? You know, you could even put the words of maybe St. Paul in this bracket. He who wrote most of the New Testament. Are Paul's words echoing Jesus' words? Do they ring true with the Word of God? If yes, and of course they are, then they can be added into our foundations. But of course, if we can listen to all sorts of people, can't we? We can listen to Mahatma Gandhi or Muhammad or Billy Graham, Donald Trump, the Queen, King Charles III, Mother Teresa, you know, all these people. You could even listen to the vicar and even me. But if these words are good or bad, we need to be careful, don't we? Who we listen to and what we place into our foundations. Even Jesus' words can be misinterpreted by some people. People like David Koresh and Jim Jones come to mind. So always, always ask the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, to sift the good from the bad. And if it doesn't ring true with Scripture, then throw it away. So what has Jesus been saying in this Sermon on the Hill? What should we be putting into practice? Just a few points from the sermon. We can't unpack it all, can we? I mean, it will take years to unpack this sermon. You know, he taught us how to pray. He taught us that we'll be persecuted for our faith. He taught about our reward in heaven. He taught about love for one another. He taught about possessions on earth are not important. So all these wonderful things he talked about. And what does he say at the end? Listen to my words and do what I say. Let him who has ears, let him hear and do. So we're nearly halfway through, so hang on there. If we have a firm foundation and we are following the words of God and doing what he says, then we are in a good place, aren't we? So with our foundations well laid, I want to talk about what I believe I heard from God over the past few weeks. Are you worried about the future? God said to me, reassure my people, but be honest with them. So here goes. My experience is that I can worry and be anxious about so many things. But the Bible says a lot about being worried and anxious. And there is a sheet that I gave each one of you, which you might want to take home and read. There are verses from the Bible, but also some quotes from some good people at the end. And it would just help you to, perhaps, when worry comes in, to be able to read those things, and it will give you help, I'm sure. Because in John 14, verse 1, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's Jesus. So really, what is worry? Well, don't do it, really. Don't do it. It's easy, isn't it? No, it isn't. It could even be a sin to worry. Whoops. What do you think about that? I have to say that there are worriers, and there are worriers. My mum was a bit of a worrier. It's funny, isn't it, how people are like that. But if we take these words of Jesus and practice them, and making sure that they are embedded in our foundations, then we are secure on the rock. And if God is for us, who can be against us? It says in Romans. But you could be thinking, oh, hang on, Keith. We have looming ahead of us so much uncertainty, or so our media outlets would tell us. Who do we listen to? A warning comes to mind. So worry comes along, doesn't it? We worry about ourselves and our family and friends and others that we love around us. We see what's going on around us in our families, our neighbours, and they're worried. So worried that it seems a torrent of water is coming to wash them away. And from the story, we know that people who do not have Jesus in their lives, they will have foundations of sand. So praise God, if Jesus is our Lord Jesus and our Saviour, we are safe and secure in Christ. Rock or sand, it seemed to be one or the other. Stand or fall. Worrying about what might happen always allows worry to control the situation. Now, this then controls us. Worry closes us down, and fear can then take a stronghold on our lives. But being concerned or having care for others leads to positive actions and frees us to do something about it. So I don't want you to think that we should ignore what is happening around us and to be above it all. That doesn't help anybody, does it? In fact, we need to be salt and light in this world. So yes, we do need to see the problems in life that happens around us. But we as Christians need to respond to them. But the main thing is that we should not fear or worry about them. God has our backs. So let's get to the nitty-gritty. How do we react when we see uncertainty all around us? We can pray. We can pray for our government. God bless Liz Truss and the cabinet. We can pray about when we see major shift and shaking happening in the monarchy. God bless King Charles and the royal family. When we see the cost of living continue to rise, God bless our economy and energy prices continue to increase. God bless the suppliers. You know, fear and worry are very insidious, and we need to be on our guard. But what happens when fear and worry affect our very being? You know, our reality sometimes seems to be different to what the Lord says. In fact, our experience can be that everything and everyone seems to be against me. You know, I pray over my illness and others pray about it and nothing happens. Thoughts such as this come to my mind. I thought you loved me, Lord. How can you let this happen to me? I thought I was the apple of your eye. All of these thoughts and ones like them comes into our minds, doesn't it? Let's be honest with each other. So we need, I believe, our minds transformed. It's how we think. And for us to realize who we are in Christ and who we have built into our life, built our life upon, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, sometimes our experiences cause us to doubt that God is with us. But God has promised to be with us all the way. So it is our mind that needs changing. So hear the word of the Lord when the seas roar and the winds blow. Hear the word of the Lord in times of dire need and distress. The reality is that you are founded on the rock of Christ. And even if I die, I know that my Redeemer lives. Good old Job. I know that my Redeemer lives. Paul in his letter to Galatians says, I have been crucified with Christ. I don't live any longer, but Christ who lives in me. Now I live in my life in my body by faith in the Son of God. He loved me and gave himself for me. We may wear the scars of battle, but he has the ultimate victory. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, it says in 1 John. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And again in 1 John, greater is he that is in within me than he that is in the world. And in Philippians, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So hear the word of the Lord when the seas roar and the wind blows. Hear the word of the Lord in times of dire need and distress. Stand on his word. Stand on who Jesus is. Stand on the promises of God. Stand on all that is good and true. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff comfort me. Now, I'm concerned about my brother at the moment. He's a vicar, a man of faith, But he is walking through a dark valley at the moment. He can't see the end of it all. Is there an end to it? He is walking through a very, very dark valley. But I truly believe that Paul and others just like him, those who have Jesus in their lives, then I believe that they will see the glory of God, the brightness of his countenance, and the darkness will be dispelled, and they will come through the valley. May the light of your glory shine, O Lord, on Paul and others that we know, even today. So just to finish, we need to change our perspective in life. We need to have our minds transformed. And John Pitts, did John come here? I think he did, didn't he? Yes. John Pitts spoke about this a few weeks ago. Our lives should be focused more on what Jesus has done for us, dying for us and being raised from the pit of death. He has done it. He has won the victory over sin and death. Death, where is your sting? We also need to focus on what he is doing for us now, even today. He's not idle in heaven. Jesus, the risen Son of God, he is interceding for us, and his Spirit is with us, in us, with each and every one of us. Isn't that a joy? Jesus also promises us eternal life, and I believe that we must somehow see eternity as a reality. I sometimes get that wrong in my mind. The firm hope we have is not a wishy-washy type of hope, but a sure hope of things to come. It is not a forecast, but a certainty of glory. Our life here on earth, with all its ups and downs, its tragedies, its joys, its blessings and its agonies, the life is just a preamble to our existence. Now, we will have all of these experiences in our lives, no doubt. But don't let your heart be troubled, for I am with you, says the Lord. Our time here on earth needs to be full of life in all its abundance, a full and productive life, enjoyed to the full, and more of this I pray for each one of us. But it is only a preamble, a preparation for the greater life to come. I found this saying, which I think is lovely. A life is like a thin ray of light from the great sunshine of God's glory that is waiting for us in eternity and life in heaven with God. You know, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Today, many lives are ruined, pushed around and broken by the turbulent and chaotic world around them, just like the people caught up in today's wicked slavery through IJM. People's lives are ruined when addiction takes hold. People's lives are ruined when serious health issues cut people down. People are worried about how they will heat their homes or have food for the winter. But as we saw in the video, restoration can and will happen in all areas of our lives because we have the answer. And the answer is? I think we can do that a bit louder. The answer is? Jesus, isn't it? Go out there and do good. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So show Jesus to all, and you will be blessed, and you will be a blessing to others. Live life with eternity in mind, and see how that changes your perspective in life. Hold fast to Christ, for he is your rock and your salvation. Amen.